Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Williamson?
Pardon our
long intro.
Our long intro there.
That's all right.
That's it. Yeah, it's a Monday. Everybody's celebrating today. That was the Jacob was probably eating Caliente pizza. That was the problem. Steelers winning on Sunday, beating the New Orleans Saints 20-10. Interesting game. We've now seen two games with T.J. Watt on the football field this year, and the Steelers' defense has been pretty dominant in both of those.
Pretty dominant in both, right.
Both of those games.
Yeah, I read your 10 thoughts, and you laid it out real well about, okay, there was that drive at the end of the half where they were going to hurry up, and they had a little bit of momentum. But that was like it.
That was it. They didn't do anything other than that.
That was really it. Yeah. And then
a 40-yard field goal drive, and that was it.
That was about it, yeah. And then second half was just, you know, drive after drive of just interception, turnover on down, whatever. So many third and longs for that.
So many
third and longs. Yeah. Like, and we did a video today, and I kind of chuckled. Like, they were grateful to get a third and seven. And they were thirds and 12s. I mean, brutal.
Yeah. The Steelers doing a really nice job. And that's what, I mean, Watt didn't have a sack. He almost had a sack in the game.
Mm-hmm. His
came up a half a yard short of Dalton got like a half yard gain, and they gave him a 1 yard gain on it, but it should have. I mean,
it's a rushing attempt instead of
Reality was it was a sack. I mean, it was. I think that made it third and 10 instead of third. You know, third and 11.
Not third and 11. Yeah, 10 and a half. Yeah.
So, same difference as having a sack, because he was flushed out of the pocket. But Watt,
he blew up the play.
You saw you saw the attention that the Saints paid to him.
Yeah.
Consistently, and they had Ryan Ramczyk on that side,
who's really their only good remaining lineman at this point. I mean,
doubling Watt, helping him out. Their best lineman, they're helping out.
Yes.
Because that's the kind of difference that he makes.
And they both were first-round picks out of Wisconsin together. Yeah. They know each other extremely well, obviously. They've gone against each other. I didn't think of that angle until they mentioned it on the broadcast. So I forget who I was talking to. Oh, it was Mark Madden just a little bit ago about what kind of impact does Watt have. I'm like, well, here's just one example. Like you said, 9 out of 10 Saints opponents in this situation with backup linemen everywhere else, Ryan, you got that dude.
Yeah.
But they couldn't do it in this case.
Right.
You know, they just can't, because it would have been just as bad.
Yeah. You know, and so Alex Highsmith gets two sacks. That's two games now with Watt that Alex Highsmith has played, and he has five sacks in those two games.
Right. He should end up with 15.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got 8.5 already. Then they put that backup left tackle in, too. That dude was toast.
At some point, you do wonder, and they're not going to stop paying attention to Watt.
No.
But does everybody then start max protecting against the Steelers on everything?
It just changes everything you do.
Which makes your coverage down the field on the back side that much easier to do.
Yeah. I've given very little thought to Steelers-Bengals. You know, I'm recollecting of what happened, of course. But I'm just thought there, as you said that, I'm thinking they're very, very predominantly an 11 personnel team. So, you know, I think I mentioned on the radio a little bit ago was teams that want to play 11 might have to play 12. You know, I mean, and we've seen the state.
They make you play left-handed.
Yeah. I mean, you just prepare all week differently. You put people in there that are blockers instead of Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
You know,
or your running back, because, you know, your running back might be your safety valve. But now he's got a Chip Watt.
Now he's got Chip Watt. Yeah. Or stay in. You know, they've been throwing a mix in a lot. Kamara's a tremendous receiver, but he's also able in protection.
Yeah.
It's just, they make you do things you don't want to do offensively, which is huge. And yeah. It makes everyone around you better, too.
I mean, if you look at it, Kamara caught three passes yesterday for 19 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he had four targets. They took Chris Olave,
yep.
who's been having a great rookie season.
I thought those two were the whole offense.
Pretty much eradicated him out of the offense.
Yep.
Because they didn't trust it to have the time to throw down the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then I mentioned today on the video that we did, Andy Dalton was 6 of 11 for 66 yards in both interceptions.
Outside the numbers.
Throwing to his outside receivers, yep. who were the yep. you know the guys that are getting down the field. I mean, you know, again, changes the complexion of everything with that defense.
100%. And I am curious to watch the All-22 and say, did they really focus on Olave and Kamara like, you know, we had talked about going into the week? Because the other guys aren't scary, and if they get a couple plays here and there, so be it. You mentioned about how they were really focusing on Taysom Hill's snaps as well. They obviously practiced against all the stuff he brings to the table. The well-coached group, I thought the corners held up well. Pass rush sure helps, but I didn't see anyone on defense that was – a major liability. I have my thoughts on Spillane, and we'll keep it positive for now. But, but overall, I mean, you can just see the ripple effect when the star is in there.
Yeah, Alvin Kamara had 8 carries for 26 yards, and he had a 14-yard carry.
Yeah, he had a decent one, right.
So it was 7 for 12 on his other rushes, mm-hmm. and it started right out of the gate. I thought field position...
Yeah.
Was a huge factor.
It's been a while since they've had positive field position.
They got the opening kickoff, drove to midfield, punted, got it downed inside the 10.
Down, right.
And the Saints couldn't move the ball. They get the ball back at midfield. They go in for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is their best field position in a month.
Yeah, all year probably. Yeah. Just the game was probably their best field position game. I mean, they were last in league defensively of where they had to start their drives.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you think if you think about it, you know, if they give up, let's say they give up 20 yards there,
mm-hmm.
and now the Saints are punting from the 25, totally different situation.
Right.
You know,
that stuff's very important. I mean, especially a team like this that's going to win in the margins and turnovers.
Yeah.
And they did a good job, too, of not – an overriding theme to me in this game for the Steelers, especially the defense, was they didn't hurt themselves either.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of those long drives, we know that they're not the most explosive passing offense, that's for sure, but they did get some explosives on the ground. But they did sustain those drives without taking the holding penalty and being in 3rd and 15 and, you know, those type of things.
Well, that was huge as well. They really won the penalty battle.
Yeah.
The Saints secondary was just overwhelmed.
Their outside corners.
I mean, really bad.
A tough day.
You know, I think Deontay Johnson, the one slant that he ran, they had zero coverage on, and the guy just grabbed him.
Yeah.
Because he knew if he caught the ball, there was nobody back. There was a touchdown.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, so I think Deontay was a little frustrated by all that. But
you had a different vantage point than I did. I watched on TV, like most of our listeners. But my hunch is, just by the way those corners were playing and what I did see, Pickens and Deontay ate their lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, they just really did.
Yeah. I mean, they did, but the Steelers didn't have to throw it a lot.
No, they didn't have to throw it a lot. And we'll get to Kenny at some point, but I don't think he saw it all that well either.
Yeah,
there could have been more throws that he could have.
I think, you know, with what the Saints were doing, you know, they showed, again, zero blitz a lot,
mm-hmm.
Throwing a lot of different stuff at him. You know, I do think that they did mix things up, you know, well enough that confused him at
mm-hmm.
times. And, you know, he did have to be cognizant of where the Honey Badger was at.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the one guy you want to...
DeMario Davis. And yeah, they got dudes, yeah.
You want to stay away from those guys. But, you know, overall, they took care of the football.
Mm-hmm.
They ran for 217 yards.
What a difference a run game makes.
Oh, huge.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I thought this game was won all across the board. But on both sides, they won the trench battle, and they absolutely won the run game battle.
When you outrun, you know? When you outrush the other team by almost 200 yards...
Mm-hmm.
You don't lose.
You don't lose. I mean, it just makes – you move the ball at will, chunks, you wear them down. You know, you mentioned the offense for the Saints in the second half. They couldn't get anything going. They had no foundation. Steelers have too often been in that situation, but it's just so much better when you can get something going on the ground. And I'm really excited. This is sort of Steeler-related. But, like, I use this example today. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, they just ran the ball over and over and over this week. I mean, you think they don't want to throw it all over? No. Rodgers threw 20 passes in an overtime game. Brady was a few more. They won. They got their teams back on a winning track. often talk about Atlanta, the Giants, the Bears, all these teams that don't have any talent. Well, they at least put – they're competitive because they're running the football.
Yeah.
And I'm a dork with analytics, as everyone knows, but I hope there's some studies this offseason that kind of go back to, oh, the running game doesn't matter. I think the running game matters
absolutely
more this
more
year
so
than,
than
I can
ever
remember.
Before.
I mean,
because
like, Tennessee's winning their division. They can't throw the ball.
So many teams, so many opponents, so many defenses – are just, okay, you want to run the ball? Have at it.
Yeah, well,
okay.
I think, yeah.
Well, if you're going to give it to me.
I think things are shifting back in a big way, and it might take a year to correct itself. But just keep pounding the ball, and, you know, it pays off. It makes things a little easier, and it evens the playing field.
Yeah, and, you know, and I, you know, Najee Harris, I thought, had his best game, obviously, the year in terms of what he got on the ground. But
even the way he looked.
I thought he was much more decisive. He was getting downhill immediately. There were a couple times when they tried to run him to the outside. Stop that.
Yeah.
Don't do that anymore. Just run it up the middle.
I was critical that he ran like a small back.
Yeah.
And he didn't in this game.
No.
And Warren compliments him really well.
Yeah.
Pickett's legs add to the equation without question.
No doubt. And we've talked about that. I mean, I think they had 126. I just did the first half review.
Mm-hmm.
They had like 126 rushing yards from the quarterbacks this season going into this game.
If
you remember, they had like 58 yards rushing last year from the quarterbacks.
Right.
Well, now you just added 51 more to that with Pickett.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we even talked in the
offseason. More of that.
Yeah.
Give me more of that.
I mean, how many times do we have this conversation in the offseason, not knowing what the offense was going to look like? What's Trubisky and Pickett going to do as runners? And we were like, let's just say they get 18 yards a game through 17 games. That's so many more rushing yards than they would have had last year, you know? And it's even better than that. And I have some issues with some of his runs. I think he was too frenetic in the pocket and didn't need to go. But much like Justin Fields, who everyone's raving about, he's a very undeveloped player in the pocket, Fields I'm talking about. And he has a crutch with this great running ability. And I think Kenny's better in the pocket than Fields. He's not the runner Fields is, but it's if he didn't have it, he'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, I look at you know the six sacks that they gave up in this game. First of all, I don't know why they were throwing it 36 times.
Yeah,
add in the Pickett the Pickett scrambles, and it was probably over 40.
Mm-hmm.
And you ran the
I
ball
bet 42 dropbacks.
Yeah, it was somewhere around that number. Too many.
Too many
in that kind of game. Especially when the
that
running.
Being said though, I mean they were 50-50 run. I mean there was a heavy run ratio, but you were winning.
You're winning, and you were winning, you know, decisively, you know, for much of the second half. Pound the football,
and it was working.
And it was working.
Like you're
getting
1 yard, 2 yards. You know, it was working.
I thought, you know, they took that 10-0 lead, and they did so by running the football, and then they kind of got away from it for a little while, but then they got back to it.
Yeah.
Keep doing that, and if it's working like that, you know, all right. And you know, if you
make
just,
them, what's the basketball term? Shoot me out of zone or whatever.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
I mean? If you're going to hand me 5 yards of carry time and time again with a rookie quarterback, why do we have to get fancy? You know what I mean?
Even if it's, you know,
if it's Josh Allen.
If it's 3 yards on first down, it's 3 yards on first down because you're probably going to get five on the next one. Now you're in third and two.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I, you know, I
for where this offense has been, that's great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The Saints had been very good on third downs this year.
Yeah.
Defensively, and the Steelers converted 50%.
Yeah, it was great. And some of them were third and, you know, medium or long, too, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they did stay ahead of the chains. I did think Pickett played well on third downs in particular. Boy, his third down defense, too, was
outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Yeah, I thought they really knew where New Orleans wanted to go with the ball. I thought I thought that the coaching staff defensively really did a nice job. You saw a couple of shifts.
I think they've been shining for about 6 weeks now.
I mean, they've pitched shutouts in two of their last three games in the second half of those games, including at Miami.
Yeah, right.
A team that you just saw that put up 44 points yesterday on the Browns.
Well, maybe the best offense in the league.
Yeah. You know, they did a number on them in the second half of that game. But I thought there were a couple times where the defense really shifted late to where all of a sudden New Orleans was going with it. It's like they almost knew where New Orleans was going with the ball before the Saints were, you know, before they ran the play.
And, great familiarity with Dalton. I don't think it's a super complex offense, but as I saw in your article, this was a team that was averaging, what, 26 points a game?
27 with Dalton as quarterback,
With Dalton as the quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, they've moved the football. Their yards per play are high, you know, their EPA is high, you know. I mean, it's not a joke offense
yeah.
by any stretch.
So it's good to, a good team win. I think, you know, get, put a little pep back in everybody's step in that locker room.
Oh, I bet.
You know, and you talk, you know, it reaffirms. I think Mike Tomlin talked about this after the game, and I know Cam Hayward did. You know, it kind of reaffirms some of the stuff that they've been teaching here. You know, you can teach that stuff, and if you're losing, it's like, all right, coach, you're telling me this stuff works, but it's
we got another loss.
We got another loss here. Well, now you've done it, and you had, you know, this really.
Cam Hayward's get it. Yeah, that have been around the block. And
if you look at this, at worst, it should have been 23-10.
Oh.
It was a four. You know, he missed a 49. He missed a 38-yard field goal and a 49-yard field goal. Those are ones you make. I mean, they put 26 in the points on the board yesterday. Everybody's going, "Ooh, that was what a game!"
I know. I've gotten a couple today. Like, well, that's only their first game of 20 offensive points or whatever it was. And I'm like, yeah, but I bet if Boz was there, it would have looked a little better.
Yeah,
too,
right.
You know, and the other thing about it too, you're talking about field position and whatnot. Missed field goals to me are the same as a turnover. You know, they were plus two in turnover differential. Great. But the two field goals negate that, make it down to zero. And then the fact that they stopped the Saints on fourth down, to me, in my world, they're plus one in
that's
turnover
ratio.
That's a turnover. Ratio. Yeah, they were plus one in turnover ratio. They generated two. That's great. But imagine if your kicker makes both those, then you're plus five.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do
that
with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Or your plus three, I'm sorry.
The other one, I thought this was a big drive as well. The field goal drive to start the fourth quarter. They started it late in the third quarter. This put the one that put them ahead. New Orleans punts them down inside. The two? The guy made a great punt.
It
bounded sideways out of bounds at the two, and you're thinking, oh man, if they don't get a first down here, now you're giving the Saints the ball back at midfield. It's a tie ball game. They go 83 yards. And 11 plays.
Does it have it on there? Like, how much time of possession? It was 11 plays. I mean, that's close enough. I was just curious, how much clock did that eat? I mean.
That was a 13-minute drive.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, no, time of possession was, I'm sorry, it was a 6:22.
Okay.
6:22.
But, I mean, sure, this offense isn't putting up 40 points. I mean, we know it, but it's all baby steps. They don't make that drive against any defense in week two.
Yeah,
week four. I just believe that.
Well, here's the
2 yard line.
You know, I mentioned in the article the second half possessions for
the Saints. Oh,
here are the Steelers: 59 or 64 yards missed field goal, 83 yards field goal, 44 yards touchdown, 4 yards missed field goal. That was after the turnover.
Okay,
and then 43 yards end of game. So really, every one of their second half drives,
substantial drive,
was a scoring drive.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that mattered,
right. They had an opportunity to put points.
There were opportunities to put points on the board, which
can't help it that the ball didn't go between the uprights or whatever. A quick negative: I know they scored two touchdowns, but by no means do I think, oh, they're red zone.
The red zone, yeah.
Picks. You know, I mean, Pickett's on a 1 yard sneak. The Pickens. Play whatever. I still want to see a 12-yard zip it in there between a safety and a linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, the red zone stuff to me is still worrisome. You know, as are the explosive pass plays. But
you know, but they did have again. They won the explosive plays. Period in this game.
Yeah, four long runs.
Yeah, you had the four long runs. You had two long passes.
Two long passes.
One was
Deontay,
you know,
nice one.
One was Jalen Warren on a catch and run, but that's allowed too.
Yeah. You're allowed to do that. I said on a different podcast today, I'm like, I want to see him more in the passing game. I thought he was a real force in the passing game.
Yeah, just makes guys miss in the open field.
Yeah. He's a quick little strider.
Yeah.
Hard to keep up with.
You do like to see it. Again, I like the incorporation of some quick slants into the offense. Yeah. We hadn't seen much of that.
More in-breaking routes.
Yeah. They did it right out of the gate. They hit Pickens on one. They hit Johnson on one. Again, I mentioned the one that they hit that would have been a touchdown if Johnson's not interfered with. I mean, you're putting that stuff on tape.
Mm-hmm.
Now opponents have to say, okay, now he's not just going to lob it down the sideline.
Right, right, right.
They're gonna try to hit some stuff.
And then I hope I see a slant and go off that. Comebacks, things, in-breaking routes in general. This is probably a bigger conversation than we have for this segment. I don't know how much you've studied the snap counts and whatnot, but there's some interesting trends that I saw is that Sims and Gunner basically split the slot duties right down the middle in 11, but they were also in 12 much more than usual. I'm wondering if they're feeling their way out, or are they going to try to be bigger, or how they're going to handle basically their fifth skill guy. I mean, we know the four that are always going to be on the field, one of the two backs, but it worked, and I think they gained some valuable experience with that. I'm not sure what the plan is exactly, though.
The plan is to continue to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think that they view – I know they talk about Sims being, the guy that primarily replaces Chase Claypool, but it's going to be a combination of those guys. Yeah. And
Hayward and Boykin played more snaps.
Right. You may see those guys in there a little bit more often because they're both, they give you a bigger body.
They're all different.
Yeah.
They're a lot different than Sims.
And, they even, trotted out that Wildcat again a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And that has Warren and Harris on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
So.
And that's intriguing to me, too, because they're both good blockers. Like that, these pony packages when one running back's never blocked anyone's life. Like, I never quite understood that, but these guys will both block.
Yeah, they're both willing and able to do so. So, good overall team win. We'll see if they can, carry that over to next week against the Bengals, a team they should have some pretty good confidence against.
Oh, I would think so.
After what happened in Week 1.
Yeah.
You handled that team. We'll see whether Jamar Chase is back this week.
Yeah. Or Minka's back. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't hear any serious Steeler injury news, but maybe we can talk about that.
Some minor bumps and bruises here and there. Pickett with an ankle, but that shouldn't be a major thing. Some guys with your usual Monday limping around stuff that were over there today, but nothing that seems to be too bad. I thought Ogunjobi was very disruptive on the inside.
I thought Montrevious Adams played quite well, too, against the run. Yeah, and Cam was really good again.
So, a lot to take out of that game, a lot that you would like. You can subscribe now to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. For every episode that we do is available for you to download. You can subscribe today through the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you find your podcasts. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.